You seem hungry. Good thing your table is ready with Fatterday Omaha.
Fatterday Omaha.
Eat this.
I remember having a conversation with myself as I hugged a bottle of vodka, and saying, you know, you're going to die just like your mother did. And my mother died when I was 9 of alcoholism.
Oh my gosh. I know that's a pretty heavy intro to our Fatterday Omaha episode today, but that quote is from Chef Robert Wilson. He is with the Stevens Center here in Omaha. And our discussion today is with Chef Wilson of the Stevens Center and also with Carol Patrick of the VNA, the Visiting Nurses Association. We are going to talk about a happy event. That would be Art and Soup, the 27th annual event now. So this has been going on for quite a while, and the Visiting Nurse Association, I believe, started in the late 1800s, according to Carol. This event is to support the efforts of the VNA. And what's really neat is that our local restaurant community, 20 of them, have signed up to bring soup to the VNA's Art and Soup event, which is coming up on March 10th. And you get to sample soups from places like Onopanai, from Avoli, from the Stevens Center. And you'll find out here that Chef Wilson actually worked for the French Cafe at one point. So you've got some chef power behind these soups. And so we will talk with Carol about the Visiting Nurses Association in general, the services that they provide, including assistance with homelessness, assistance with domestic violence. And we will talk with Chef Robert Wilson about that movement from dark times to how, through his help with the Stevens Center, he is able to give back to the community and support his crew, his kitchen, to support them as well, because he comes from a place of experience and thankfully is on a good path now and providing food for both tummies and hearts and minds. So let's get our show going with Carol Patrick of the Visiting Nurses Association and Chef Robert Wilson of the Stevens Center regarding art and soup. This is Dave with Fatterday Omaha, and we are sitting in the palatial KIOS studios with microphones around us so that we may talk about food once again. And I have some awesome guests and actually a voice that you may remember from a year past here, and that is Carol Patrick from the Visiting Nurses Association, the VNA. Carol, how are you?
I am really well. Thank you for having us with you today.
And I also have a chef with me as well from Stevens Center, Chef Robert Wilson. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
We are here to talk about a perennial event now, Carol? How
it is.
Does this happen?
So we are in our 27th year for this event. And the name of the event is Art and Soup.
Yes.
And that's what you get to enjoy when you are there. But before I tell you more about that, I think the really important thing is why we're raising money.
Yes.
Because all the money that we're going to raise for this event goes to place our VNA nurses in homeless shelters, mm-hmm. domestic violence shelters, and group maternity homes. That is one of the things we do, and the shelters don't pay for that service at all. We raise the money. It's 100% community supported, and so one of the ways that you can help us put nurses in shelters is to attend this event and be a part of it. And it's a wonderfully festive event that folks just really enjoy. It's very unique. And I should give the details. March 10th, so Sunday, March 10th.
This is important.
Patron party, 1 o'clock. General admission starts at 2 o'clock. We go until 5. We're at Omaha Design Center. Great location. We're downtown. Please don't worry about parking. We have tons of free parking, including valet.
Ooh, wow.
And then Jay Noddle across the street is letting us use his parking lot, and Keywood is letting us use their parking garage. So lots of free parking down there. Please don't worry in that regard.
Excellent.
But when you get there, we will have 20 community restaurants.
Wow.
That are there. And some of the best restaurants in this community: La Voltaire, Avoli, Talus. Fig, the new restaurant at Luminarium, is going to be there this year for the first time.
Oh, that'd be awesome. So, yeah, Chef Karina Figueroa at Lola's. So I know the same folks that have Lola's and Lyle's Pizza started Fig. And I haven't got the chance to eat there yet. So very cool.
So they are going to be there. They donate all of the food.
Wonderful.
They make this amazing assortment of soups like you have never imagined in your life.
Yeah.
And you get to go around and eat to your heart's desire. And you get to talk to the chefs. The chefs are there. You get to talk to them. Two of our homeless shelter chefs are going to be there. Robert, who's with me today, and then Ken from Open Door Mission is going to be there again this year. For those you might have heard Ken with me last year.
We got to talk to Ken last year, and he had quite the story as well. If I recall, he had some dependency issues that he was overcoming. I seem to recall his story that at one point I think he like passed out in the cold in the winter and found his way to Open Door Mission. And now he's cooking there and has
the head of the kitchen
and, doing great work. That's wonderful to hear that he is still doing that. It was really nice to hear his story.
So while you are eating soup,
yes,
great soup at this event, there is an indoor art festival going on.
Awesome.
And again, just an amazing selection of local artists, different genres, different price points.
Yeah.
So paintings, sculpture, jewelry, all sorts of things that you can imagine. And every artist has made a commitment to give 50% of their sales to the cause of placing our nurses in the shelters. So again, it's a very festive event. I like to say the ways that it's different from other fundraisers, there are no tables for 10. In fact, we don't have any tables to sit down at. there's a few chairs here and there, but really you go walking around. You can arrive when you want to, you can leave when you want to. You know, there's no ice sculptures, there's no auction going on, there are no speeches. It is super casual. Pure enjoyment, casual. Come in and walk through, and gosh darn it, if you can spend some money with us, it helps the cause.
There's a number of V&A shelters around town, which I know we don't get into the locations because they're protected areas so that people are safe, but about how many shelter areas and like, you know, what's your staff? Like, how many do you have that you're supporting?
Right, and I usually don't name the domestic violence shelters, but the homeless shelters.
Oh, good call.
Stevens Center, Open Door Mission.
Sienna Francis House.
New Visions in Council Bluffs.
Okay.
Micah House.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So all the homeless shelters, all of the domestic violence shelters. I have seen, and Robert, I know that you have seen too, the amazing work that our nurses do.
Oh yeah,
within the shelters, they're really the.
Absolutely.
It's like they're the first line when people come in, and many of them with like co-occurring mental and physical health problems. Some of them, if they've been living on the street for any period of time, you know, they might frostbite. Folks who are diabetic who have been off of their insulin.
Oh, geez.
A lot of people who have been off of meds.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the stories that resonates with me the most. And you see it so many times in the shelter, folks who had to choose between, do I pay my rent or do I pay for my medication?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, I want to stay in a home, so I'm going to pay my rent and go off my meds.
Sure.
And what ends up happening, especially if it's a mental health issue, they can spiral out and something happens where they end up getting evicted then from their apartment.
Yeah.
And they're on the street or they're coming into the shelter. And not only have they lost their home, but their body has collapsed because they haven't been on the medications, you know, that they need. And our nurses are pure angels who are there to work alongside that shelter staff to help stabilize them again and get them, you know, the assistance that they need.
Well, and one of the things I like about this event specifically and the two individuals that are sitting across the table from me here is that you have that from the V&A side of helping people, taking care of people, and that's probably a lot of the reason why someone is a nurse or a doctor.
Absolutely.
Is to help people.
Yeah.
Similarly, folks in the hospitality industry, you know, a chef, a server, a bartender, same thing, is to spread love and to put a smile on somebody's faces and nourish hearts and minds. And so you have two totally seemingly different professions, obviously different angles, but almost for the same thing of helping humanity in different ways, which I think
Absolutely.
Is very cool.
And I think as we, you know, I want so much for Robert to share his story and how he came to be the head of the kitchen there at Stevens Center. But I think, Robert, one of the amazing things that happen, and I'm a psychologist, so I use the example of Maslow's hierarchy, and right, and so if people, so often we look at a homeless person and say, you know, why don't you just go get a job? Well, if your stomach is empty and you have no place to lay down at night, it's hard to focus on that.
Because your primary need isn't being met.
Your primary needs are not being met. But you come into a place like Stevens Center, you've got a bed, you've got a shower, and you have amazing food
amazing
that this
food.
Guy is fixing.
I love
and
the smile on his face.
I mean,
good.
I've eaten a lot of that food, and it's like going to a restaurant. There are people who go through that line every day and say, really,
yeah,
this is what we get
yeah,
to eat?
Yeah.
And by fulfilling that need.
A lot of our volunteers will be like, you eat better here than we eat at home.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
That's always a nice compliment.
Yeah.
But fulfilling that need and filling their tummies, and then you, Robert Wright, can say, I've been where you've been.
Right, yeah.
Tell your story a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I found the Stevens Center over 11 years ago, and when I walked through the doors of the Stevens Center, I was a freshly recovering addict and alcoholic. I had just gotten out of treatment, and I will never forget the day I walked through those doors of the Stevens Center. I was so on an island, but I wanted so badly to stay clean and sober.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the Stevens Center was a good place for that, to give me a safe place. So I did it. And 11 and a half years later, I'm their food service director. It all started with volunteering in their kitchen. That was what I knew, because I've been in food service for 30 years now.
Wow.
I've been in upscale fine dining most of my career.
Yeah.
I got my start in the Old Market area. I landed at the French Cafe back in the day, which is no longer there. But
right.
That's where I trained with some really experienced chefs. And I moved out to the West Coast early 90s, 95, 93, something like that.
Yeah.
And I landed in Anaheim, Huntington Beach, and I worked my way down the coast. Worked in upscale establishments, but, you know, no matter how good I got at cooking, I always got better at doing drugs and drinking.
Oh, yeah.
The party lifestyle associated with the food service is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people fall victim to that. And I myself fell victim to that. At the age of 45, it had completely destroyed me, taking everything from me, including my will to live. I remember having a conversation with myself as I hugged a bottle of vodka, saying, you know, you're going to die just like your mother did. And my mother died when I was 9 of alcoholism.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I had this conversation with myself. I'm like, you know, you're going to die. Is that what you want to do? And a calmness came over me. And I was like, yes, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
And that calmness was the acceptance that I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to die. That's what I'm going to do. So I passed out. And when I came to, I quickly woke my roommate up. I said, look, man, I need help. I'm going to die soon. If I don't get help, I'm going to die. That's when I went to detox. Yep. And then while I was in detox, they said, you know, what are you going to do when you leave here? I said, I don't know. All I know is I can't drink and do drugs. That's all I know. That was my standard answer for everything.
Sure.
And they said, well, you can go to the Stevens Center, because it was going to be a 2-week window for my treatment bed to open up. So I had 2 weeks to wait. And they're like, we want you to be somewhere safe. You can go to the Stevens Center. I said, what's the Stevens Center? They said, it's an emergency homeless shelter. And I said, oh my God, is that what I've done to myself? But it was the best decision I ever made besides wanting to live, because the Stevens Center is an amazing place. They did such a wonderful thing for me, and they saved my life. They gave me a safe place. They allowed me to get to the trauma that I endured as a child, that I was going to take to the grave. I thought I wasn't going to tell nobody that. I was holding on to that so tight. I didn't know it was keeping me sick. I didn't know it was keeping me from loving myself. I didn't know it wasn't allowing me to live the best life that I could live.
Wow.
But being at the Stevens Center, I was able to work through that. I was able to rebuild my self-worth, my self-esteem. I was able to learn how to love myself. Everything about me today, I tip my hat to the Stevens Center, because they're the ones that showed me the way. They're the ones that gave me a safe place to do it. So I'm still there to this day. Now I'm their food service director. I get to carry the experience, strength, and hope to people. And I just love Stevenson. I love my job, and I'm very blessed to do what I do. When I was in treatment, eating their food, I was very grateful for it. But I remember saying to God, I said, you know, if I ever get a chance to cook for people in treatment, I'm going to kill it.
Yeah.
And isn't it true, Robert, that one day the cook didn't show up?
Yeah.
And they asked for a volunteer.
Oh, like, don't you love that? In the house?
Yes.
Yo.
Exactly.
And he says, I got a little experience.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, they're
duck all oranges.
The cook
on the menu.
Was MIA, and I just jumped up and said, I got this.
Wow.
So I just kind of took over, and then you know, the CEO introduced himself. Hey, what are you doing? What are your plans? Because the word got out that I had skills.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know. All I know is I can't drink and do drugs. He said, just keep doing what you're doing. We'll give you a part-time job. We'll give you a transitional living apartment. So I lived in the shelter for 9.5 months, just working in their kitchen, volunteering in the kitchen, feeding everybody. But I was safe. I was sober.
Yeah.
So then they gave me an apartment. They gave me a job. And the rest is history.
Wow.
I've just been just doing my thing every day, just being grateful for the Stevens Center and giving back to them every chance I get.
You know, it was kind of the similar experience, I think, with Ken as mm-hmm. well, as like the Stevens Center giving help, and then they helped you, and then you're able to give back every day and probably help somebody that was in the same situation maybe that you were in
absolutely.
A short time ago.
My kitchen is recovery-based. Everybody that's on my staff has either been through treatment or been through this shelter.
Yeah.
So we hire from within, and it's always recovery-based. There's always a conversation, some kind of supportive advice. You know, people come to me and ask me, hey, you know, I'm having a rough day. What? I'm always talking to people saying, hey, you can do this, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Here's what I did. Here's what worked for me.
Yeah.
You know, because it's an everyday process. You have to do every day. You have to face your demons. You have to face your fears, and you have to work through them. But it does get easier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You find your serenity.
Well, and especially with a good support network like that, and somebody, like you said, you know, especially food hospitality industry, like you said, there's a lot of addiction challenges often, and mm-hmm. somebody can come into your kitchen, work with you. Not only can you help them from the kitchen aspect, but also from, you know, the recovery aspect.
Absolutely.
Going, like, I've been there, man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. That's one of the most beautiful things that I've witnessed in Robert's work is people walking through the food line, you know, with their heads down, and you know, you'll be talking to them about how they're doing, and he'll say, you're going to be all right.
Mm.
I did this too, you know. And when you hear that, it's one thing for somebody who hasn't been through it and is working there, but someone who has walked through the difficulties and has come out on the other side. And Robert encourages people every single day.
Yeah.
And this is another thing that I absolutely love, Robert, because I think it takes pure talent, okay? A lot of your food, if not all of it, is donated.
A lot
right?
of it. A lot of
and
it.
And so Robert looks, and you've got this beautiful walk-in refrigerator.
Yeah, I get a you know, in the
new,
every day
this new this new facility. I helped to raise the money for that facility, and Robert got to say, this is what we need, right? But you literally walk into that refrigerator and look at what you've got and say, this is what I'm going to feed
plan
everybody
my menu
tonight.
For the week, and then,
you know, so, and that's a talent,
that
by
is,
golly.
Well, yeah, so tell me a little bit about that. So you said you kind of get a plate chopped every day. So you don't have a static menu. You're rotating, like, all the time.
I pretty much, in the beginning it was like that, but I've developed a 6-week menu where I can change it up a little bit if I want. I have entrees that people just love.
Yeah.
And they'll ask me, hey, when are we going to have this again? Or when are we going to have this again? I'll take suggestions like meatloaf. Robert, when are we going to have meatloaf? Okay, we'll have it next week.
Yeah.
So the clientele that I've been serving, we've developed a friendship, so they know they can come to me and go, hey, I'd really like to have this, or when are we going to have that again?
Yeah. Fry bread tacos.
Oh, I haven't had those in a while.
Ooh, that's awesome.
It takes a lot of work. Yeah.
They do take a lot of work, but man, they're the best.
When you're constructing your menu for the week, are there, when somebody comes into line, do they get options, or is this like, this is what we have for today because that's the food that we have? Or like, I don't know how that works.
An option, like if I'm having a pork entree,
uh-huh.
people can't have pork for dietary reasons, religious reasons.
Yeah.
I'll always have an option.
Got you.
But I'm also very blessed with a lot of donations. So if I get a lot of food, I'll throw in 2 different entrees and offer them up.
Yeah.
Like we get 3 donations a week from Chick-fil-A.
Oh, wow.
Trader Joe's, Whole Foods. They donate their salads, their chicken nuggets, chicken breasts. I get fresh produce, dairy, frozen meats. So there's so much food. So, people never go hungry there. I'm a food bully. I'm like, you got to have this. You got to have this.
Yeah.
You know, and then I also make fresh tuna salad, fresh egg salad, fresh chicken salad for just to have.
Best chicken salad I've ever had in my life.
Really? Oh,
yes.
Very nice.
Seriously.
Very nice.
I've heard that a lot.
Seriously.
Yeah,
and there were a few times when I was working at Stevens Center as the chief philanthropy officer that my phone would ring and I'd pick it up and it would be Robert and he's like, hey, I got an egg sandwich down here for you. And it would be, you know, like 9 o'clock in the morning, something like that. Yeah. And I'd go down there. Honestly, to this day, I do not know what you do to those things, but I have never had such a great egg sandwich. It's just heavenly.
That's the only thing the audio medium doesn't help with, the smiles on both of their faces. Right. Right now is fantastic. But you can hopefully hear it in their voices.
Right.
So when you're planning the menu too, are there like nutritional things that you have to account for to make sure things are balanced, or like how does that work?
We always provide, every day my line has a fresh salad, fresh garden salad. We have salad dressings. I have volunteers that come in and help make pasta salads. I make potato salad, chicken salad, like I said. So that's the cold side. We also have fruit, sometimes fresh fruit, sometimes canned fruit. Just depends on what the donation looks like. So we always got the salad, the cold salads, the fruit salads. And then we got the hot entree, which always consists of a starch, a vegetable, and a protein.
Yeah.
And then I also have the bread and butter. And then we also have fresh soups every day for lunch.
And so some of these larger businesses around Omaha sounds like are giving you some nice donations to kind of keep things going, which is great.
Oh, absolutely. I can tell you, too, Olive Garden donates to us.
Wow.
So twice a week I run their Zupa Soup and their Minestrone.
Ooh.
Nice.
So, you know, and then we also got a crumble cookie donation. We've got more crumble cookies than I can't give them away fast enough, but we always have crumble cookies at lunchtime.
Good for them.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
If folks have canned goods or, you know, sometimes I know like if there's a bigger catered event, sometimes there's leftovers and things. If individuals versus these larger places are listening, what type of food can be donated to, say, Stevens Center or whatever?
We will take everything.
Okay, gotcha.
All right. Yeah. If you have a leftover food from an event, bring it down. As long as it's covered correctly, you know, I will be the judge of that, and I will receive it, use it, get it used up for sure.
Awesome.
And when it gets around the holidays, turkeys.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, folks have been great for years about
absolutely
about
turkey,
donating
the old turkey drive,
turkeys,
yeah.
And Robert fixes an amazing Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
You know, for a huge crew every single year.
That Archbishop comes down and helps serve. And
wow.
Yeah, it's quite the deal.
Yeah. Well, how many folks are you serving a day, give or take a little bit?
We're serving up to 400 people a day, 3 meals a day.
Oh, my gosh. So what is our current, like, homeless-type population in the area? Like,
yeah.
I don't even know.
I actually pulled some of that information before I came because it's somewhat staggering. So something that's done every year is called the PIT count, the PIT count.
Okay.
And it is a count of the homeless in a community. And it is done on the longest night of the year. So it's always done in January.
Oh, interesting.
And so what folks do, we know the counts in the shelters themselves, but on that PIT count, folks from who work at the shelters, the VNA nurses, other volunteers go out and they go to the homeless encampments, you know, under bridges, to the encampments, wherever they know folks have been staying, and they offer food. We offer, VNA nurses offer medical care if that's needed, and then take a count. Mm. So the most recent count of homeless in our community was 2,462 people.
That's a lot of folks.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot.
That was a 9% increase over the previous year.
Oh my gosh, over the previous year.
Yes. And these two statistics kind of rocked me. 17% of that total was people under the age of 18.
Oh my gosh.
And 13% was older adults 65 and over.
Wow. Wow. So
on different
both
sides
ends,
of that spectrum, you know, youth emergency services, I didn't mention them with the shelters. That's another shelter we work with. And of course, they're fantastic in taking in youth and helping them. But this growing elderly population within the shelters and folks who, you know, for different reasons, lose a home that they've been in for years. And oftentimes it's related to physical health.
Yeah.
And so growing populations there, and that's, I mean, it just breaks your heart to know. One of the great things that we do know in addition to that is the great shelter services that are here in
right.
Omaha and the staff who work so diligently. It is never an intent for somebody to be at a shelter long term. You know, the
sure,
idea is to transition
going.
Out.
Yeah.
And get, you know, what does it take, whether that's physical, mental health, whether it's getting a job, what, you know, whatever that is that can get someone back on their feet. Some need to apply for Social Security benefits mm-hmm. and they just don't know how.
Sure.
They just need to be guided to the resources.
Yeah,
just
right.
need a
and,
little
and getting
bit of a
those resources
hand.
So exactly. they can transition and get back on their feet. And that's the purpose. That's a good functioning system is when you can get people back up and on their feet again.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I found the Stevens Center, I had no idea that place like that existed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have never told you that it was there, but I'm glad I found it for sure. The things they do for people and how they help them and all the resources that they enlighten them to.
Yeah, and I think you had mentioned that when you went, Robert, that it was sort of a bridge. You were waiting for treatment at that
yeah,
time, right?
Yeah.
And if I recall, Carol, I think when we were talking to Ken last year, I know Open Door Mission, I think, does this, but and you can both help me here. But you don't have to be homeless necessary to come and ask for assistance, correct? You can, you know, if you need a meal or temporary help, or what are those mm-hmm. Parts and pieces there as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, those addiction facilities at Stevens Center, you do not have to be homeless. Now, it varies by shelter.
Okay.
Robert, I don't think folks from just within the community can come
eat
at Stevens Center.
We only serve our clients and staff because we are a dry shelter, so to let anybody else in would compromise somebody's recovery,
yep.
per se.
Okay, I yep. see.
So we try to keep that.
But
gotcha.
But Open Door Mission and Sienna Francis House, mm-hmm. You can definitely go into those facilities and get a meal, you know, if that's what you need to do.
Gotcha.
And that's so important.
We do offer sack lunches to people that are hungry, and occasionally I'll send out hot meals too.
Oh, wow.
You know,
okay.
Somebody comes in to the door and says, I'm hungry. They can't pass a urine test. They can't pass an alcohol breath test.
Mm-hmm.
We'll send them with food and make sure they're fed. I go through so many sack lunches. I think I did over 600 sack lunches last month.
Wow.
And that's just handing out to the community. People come in.
Wow. You know. What's the best way to help? Is the best way to, you know, give them money or give them food or you know, what is the best thing? Or is it to work with Stevens Center or Open Door Mission? Like, what are your thoughts on how to, you know, as the average person out there, what to do?
Yeah. Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, when I see people on the corner, when I see people on the corner, it sparks my motivation to help. If it doesn't, then I won't.
Sure.
You know, it's all a momentary feeling. I'll offer them food, I'll offer them money. I've also offered him my card and told him, look, if you need shelter, this mm-hmm. is the Stevens Center. You know, you
Here's
can come down
are.
There. I can give you a ride right now. There's been a couple times where I've done that.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I know for certain, Open Door Mission, if you call Open Door Mission, they have vans where they will go out and pick folks up and bring them back to the shelter, you know, if they
gotcha.
Want to get to a shelter. And I'm exactly the same way, Robert. I really trust my heart and my gut
right.
in those kind of situations.
Yeah.
And I try not to give a lot of money, but
right.
I try
exactly.
like I try to keep some things in my car that might be food sustenance or you know, even if it's like protein bars or bottles of water or,
sure.
You know, something like that. Plus, I often don't carry cash with me. So it's like if I have something that I can offer.
Sure.
And I've caught myself correcting myself, too, you know, because we're human beings. So our first thing to do is to judge. We want to judge people. It's not us to judge. The person's asking for help.
Yeah.
If that's all they're asking for. They're not asking to be judged. They're asking for
right,
help.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want to help, then help. If you don't, then don't. But don't judge them, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Don't help because you think that, you know, they're going to take that money and do something else with it. That's right. Not for you to say.
Right. You know? You don't know their situation. Right. Or
if you truly want to help somebody, you're going to help them out of the kindness of your heart. Mm.
And that's one of the things where, you know, art and soup comes in, right?
Right.
We're trying to keep the structure of help going through a fun event that happens to have both art and soup.
Yeah, because visiting nurses are amazing. I still have a very good friendship with the visiting nurse at the Stevens Center. We've been together for 11 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And I still remember when I first met her, and she gave me an exam and, you know, helped me out. And to this day, she comes down and, hey, how are you? And we're just good friends. Mm-hmm.
That's and you so feed cool. her.
Yeah, and I feed her.
Isn't that a great thing in return?
Yes.
Yeah. To be able to
give
a gift
back. I'll even send her food home.
Yeah.
Hey, you want some for dinner? Yes, I don't have to cook. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, professional chef here that, you know, feeds 400 or 500 people a day. You know what you're doing.
So pretty cool.
I've put a lot into the reputation for the food at Stevens Center.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty proud of that. It's
as you should be.
Yeah.
It's amazing. What kind of soup are you making for Art and Soup, Robert?
Yeah. What's
I'm going to do a crowd favorite, a beef enchilada.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, it's going to have a nice enchilada stock with ground beef, some rice, some Mexican rice.
Yeah.
I incorporated a little cheese into it.
Awesome.
Not too spicy, but it's going to taste like an enchilada for sure.
You know, enchiladas, I always think of a deeper flavored, you know, maybe red sauce, maybe green sauce, maybe both. How do you give it that enchilada punch so it has that depth? What's your move?
I like to use ancho chili powder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a good stock.
Yeah.
Start with a good stock and then an ancho chili powder.
Sounds
and then good. And then your typical Mexican spices.
A little cumin,
you know,
in there somewhere.
Cumin, yeah, a little paprika.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Garlic, yeah.
That sounds delicious. That sounds delicious. Yeah, I mean, a tortilla soup is always good, but enchilada soup sounds like next level. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's a crowd favorite.
Wait.
Ooh,
I want to mention a few of the others too.
Oh, yeah.
That
who
are
else
gonna
is cooking
let's
soup?
Wet people's whistles for
please.
For those that at least that I know about. So, and let's say, you know, shout out to Sarah Slattery at Slattery Vintage Estates. She's making beer cheese soup this year.
Oh, hello.
Nice. Should be good.
Nice.
Fig. That's Luminarium.
Yeah, what's Fig bringing?
Chicken corn chowder.
Oh, that sounds good.
Sounds
nice.
Really good, right? This one has me very, very curious. So Warrior's Palette Catering is coming.
Okay.
And they are making smoked leg of bison soup.
Holy smokes.
And it has corn and wild rice and pumpkin in it.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know where else you're going to get that.
That sounds very indigenous.
Yeah.
That's
got the corn and the bison.
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah.
The wild rice.
Yeah.
Avoli is making heirloom squash soup with onion marmalade.
Okay. That sounds good. A little squash.
Yeah. Sounds really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else
and
do we
get? La Volterre is the other one that I have down. It is, okay, I'm not going to know how to pronounce this. Garbure? Garbure, for you who know more than I do. They say it is a vegetable soup that originates out of France.
Awesome.
Well, so, I mean, wet your whistle on that, folks. I mean,
right?
You're going to come and really enjoy some great food. And there's always, you know, some folks who bring breads and, you know,
Wow.
Good things.
Where else are you going to get all those restaurants in one place
in
like
one place.
That? And that's, wow, there's some, you got some high powered taste creators there that
we
are
do.
Making stuff. That's
and,
awesome.
That's
and
a really neat event.
One of the fun things about the event is the chance to stand there and talk to the chef.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk to Robert about the soup that he made and what went into that. You can also talk to him about Stevens Center and what's going there. You know, the chefs are there and they're committed to this cause. We're just incredibly
I like looking
grateful.
At the art. I like going out and checking out the art for sure. I'll always walk out with something.
That's cool.
I spend more money on art every year than I plan on, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
And what is the base cost to attend, to get some soup, and then, of course, you can go get art or, you know, how much is it?
Sure. General admission ticket is $50.
$50, okay.
Which, if you consider what you're eating and then the money going to places, the nurses in the shelter, I think it's a good deal. There is a patron ticket that's available for $100.
Okay.
You enter an hour earlier than everybody else and first slurp of the soup and, right. you know, first dibs on the art. and free alcohol for the patron party. So
free alcohol, nice.
That you can't have any, Robert. but yeah, open bar. Open bar for that first hour if you come as a patron.
And if I recall, and you'll have to correct me if my memory is not 365 days accurate, but you can taste the soups more than once, is
absolutely,
that correct?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You can come back for more.
Yes. So every year my son-in-law, my daughter and my son-in-law are there, and he goes around multiple times and tastes the different soups. And you get really full.
Yeah.
If you're stopping at 20 restaurants, you know, and eating some soup and going back for some of them, I promise you, you will be full by the time you leave.
Especially if you find a favorite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
If you find the one you're going to vote for, you'll come back a few times.
Oh. And that's a good thing to point out. So we do have some
good-natured
competitions that are going on. One of them is a People's Choice, you know, with regard to the soups.
Which I did win the first year I entered.
You won the first year you were there. Yes, you did.
Wait, what was the winning soup? Do you remember?
It was a roasted red pepper bisque with cheese tortellini.
Hello. Okay. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. But then there is also a blind judging of the soups by folks who really know soup, who really know food.
I like it.
And professional judging, so to say.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so there are four judges who do blind taste tests, so they don't know who made the soup. They don't know what restaurant it came from. And so that's announced toward the end. Got same awards for the artists, you know. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. So yeah, people go around with their little sheets of paper and I like this one. I haven't tried this one yet, and you know, they're marking things down. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And do you happen to remember what the winners were from last year? And it's okay. I know I'm just springing this on you here.
No, so. I do, because the People's Choice winner was Ken from Open Door Mission.
Oh, okay.
And he did amazing.
Yeah.
And then the blind taste test was Sternella.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Yes. And it, absolutely amazing.
Very cool. Very cool. That is awesome. So you had rattled off a wonderful list of restaurants there. So there are some that weren't even there. Like I think we talked about maybe 8 or 10, and there's 20 all told that are going to be there.
There are 20 all together that are going to be there. And I'll shout out to a few more. Ono Pene is there every year. They're amazing.
They are amazing.
They are amazing.
Did they say what they're making?
I don't have what they're making. Chef Haddam is going to be there. Pitch.
Yeah.
No More Empty Pots. We love that they participate every year too.
That's fun.
And they come in. Let's see, who else? Talus is going to be there. Warrior's Palette, I mentioned. Backlot Pizza and Kitchen, they're a new one this year.
I'd be curious to see what they do for a soup.
What they do for
a
soup,
they do like a Detroit style pizza.
Yeah.
And so it'd be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
Detroit style soup, maybe.
Yeah, and Brian O'Malley, who is the head of the culinary program at Metro Community College, is on our committee that puts this event together. And Brian has the, you know, great fortune of knowing most of the chefs around town. So, you know, if Carol Patrick calls them, they go, but if Brian O'Malley calls, they go, I know Brian. And, you know, folks respond and they want to be a part of this. And so we're really grateful to Brian every single year for, you know, what he does to help us out.
Good guy. I like Brian.
That's awesome. Yeah. And in fact, just had the opportunity to talk with him recently about a culinary capstone dinner that one of his students, Chef Jamil Batraore, put on.
Jamil, I love him.
Yes, and who also knows Chef Wilson from Le Voltaire, who will be making soup at this event. So that is super cool.
And you know what? Jamil was there last year. He actually made the soup for No More Empty Pots.
Okay.
And so I don't know if he'll be doing that again this year, or if he'll do it as his own catering company. We're still waiting to hear back from him. Jamil, if you're listening.
He might be a silent soup ninja in the background.
Yeah,
somewhere.
He very well may be.
Excellent.
Very well may be, but yes, good things.
So, Chef, when you're making your soup, so you're doing a beef enchilada soup.
Yeah.
For this event,
How much soup do you need to make?
A lot. Well, I'll tell you what, the first year I made way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I ran that soup for the next 2 days. Everybody was very happy. I'm like, here's the award-winning soup. I'm going to do about 10 gallons.
10 gallons of soup.
Yeah, last time I did 15, I think it was, and I ended up bringing 5 of it home. So
wow. So you have just some giant, like, you know, 10-gallon pot with a, you just sitting there.
Yes. We have a very big cauldron.
Excellent.
Yes, very big cauldron.
Use like a boat oar to start right. up. And
yep. Yeah. We have a big old metal oar.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep.
So are you preparing everything at the Stevens Center and then transporting it to the event?
Yes. We're going to prepare it at Stevens Center. That's on a Sunday. So I'll probably get all the prep done Saturday and then bring it up to temp Sunday and then transport it. I'll transport it in like the large Gatorade.
Oh, yeah.
Containers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That keeps holds its temperature pretty well.
Gotcha. That was going to be my next question how do you keep it hot?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then I'll have chafing dishes with the burners once we get there. Then we'll transport it into pans, and then we'll bring it back up to temperature if it lost any temp.
Gotcha. Yeah.
For sure.
For those that listened to our episode with Chef Doug Christman of Metropolitan Culinary College, we had a whole sanitization episode about TPS foods and keeping everything up to temp.
We're keeping all the regulations.
Yes.
We absolutely do that. And you know what? If I can go back to Brian O'Malley for a minute, because again, if you're listening and you're going to be a part of this, so Brian O'Malley is donating a dinner for 12 that is fixed by him and some of the students at Metro.
Nice.
And that's going to be part of a silent auction package.
Cool.
And man, we really want people to bid on that and think of how much fun, you know, you can have. And you go over to Metro and you're part of putting this whole thing together, and you're served you know, by Brian and the folks there. And
that sounds amazing. It sure does.
That is amazing. About how many people typically attend, or is it kind of a I think you said it's almost an open house type format, so you can
you can come and go between those hours of 1 and 5. That's the great thing. You know, you come at your leisure. A lot of folks come and end up staying longer than they thought they would.
Sure.
Just because it's so dang fun. Yeah, we usually have a little over 1,000 people in attendance.
Wow.
Which is
That's great.
Fabulous.
That is great.
And you can buy tickets at the door.
Uh-huh. A
little bit more. We usually say $65 at the door.
Sure.
But we had quite a few walk-ins come last year. And we, of course, hope it's going to be a really nice day. And
Some nice sunshine outside. And it's inside, so if it's raining, it's still on. You can
still go get
art and soup. The art
come
will be
in.
Dry, and the soup will be delicious.
And soup's good for rainy days, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%. How many years has the event been going on again?
So this is the 27th year for the event.
27th year.
Yes. And, you know, we've kept it going because the people of our community have embraced it.
Yeah.
Again, as something that's unique and wonderful. And for those of you who aren't familiar with V&A, we've been in the community 128 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Which is amazing. Yeah. We were founded in 1896.
Think of all the people they've helped.
Oh, my gosh.
Just fabulous. The opportunity to be there with us. We appreciate it so much.
That's great.
They do amazing work.
That is fantastic. And it is so awesome, Chef, to hear your story. I love the fact that you are able to actively give back daily, and you have such a powerful story in addition to a great outcome there to be able to then help others have that same outcome.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I'm very blessed to do what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful for the Stevens Center. I'm very grateful for people like Carol.
Yeah.
I've made lifelong friends through the Stevens Center.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
People that are absolutely friends and, you know, true friends that I haven't had when I was out there experiencing my addiction.
Sure.
You know, the only friends that you have are people that want to get high and party, and they're not really your friends.
Right.
I've made some true friends through Stevens Center, and I'm very grateful for that.
We have the event coming up. But if somebody wanted to help V&A out or Stevens Center out, mm-hmm. and they can't attend the event for whatever reason,
right.
how can someone help the V&A or the Stevens Center?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Both of our organizations need volunteers. We especially, yeah. So we don't use a lot of volunteers on a daily basis because of the healthcare regulations, right?
Sure.
But for Art and Soup, we need volunteers. And, you know, if you or someone you know needs volunteer hours, go to our website, vnatoday.org. It'll take you to Art and Soup, yeah. And we use like 120 volunteers that day.
Wow.
So think about that. The other thing, if you can't attend the event, we appreciate anybody who really takes our mission to heart of providing healthcare and supportive services for people who can't afford it on their own. Mm-hmm. Everyone we serve is uninsured, under-resourced. They are the marginalized people of our community. Mm-hmm. And I believe everybody deserves that hand up. Mm-hmm. It's our friend John Hoich says it's not a handout, it's a hand up.
Sure.
And we believe in that with all our hearts, being able to do that. And I know for Stevens Center also, you need volunteers.
Oh yeah, we use volunteers.
And you can always
all
do donations.
Time. Yeah. You can also follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just some great things.
If
you
Stevens
go on social
Center,
media, you'll see some of Robert's story on video.
Yeah.
Which is a fabulous story too.
I got to do a little story for my golf. I'm a golf fanatic.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I love golfing. So they come out and interviewed me and how golf compared to recovery.
Oh,
so
interesting.
That was really neat.
Yeah.
That's on our Instagram, our social media. They got a lot of different stories there. So
very cool.
Yeah. Also go to StevensCenter.org and check us out and get all the information on that website that you need.
That's absolutely great. Wonderful organization.
Yes.
That's great. And if somebody is volunteering for Art and Soup, what type of things does a volunteer usually do at Art and Soup?
That is a great question. So we have people who help us set up in the morning before the event opens. We have folks who help us take down after the event is concluded. And if you're volunteering during the event, and I think this is really fun. When the artists, for example, sell something, we have runners. We call them runners, and they take the piece of art and they take the sales slip to a wrap and hold section, and we hold on to that for you until you're ready to leave.
Oh, so you don't spill soup on your art
that day. So
oh,
you
right.
don't, you know, we take good care of it, and somebody wraps it up nicely. So when you are ready to check out, and leave and pay for your art, it's all there. We have folks who try to come around and help the chefs if they need anything. Do you need your trash can emptied? Do you need, whatever? What do you need? Do you need
I need you to stand here so I can go sample the soup.
Right? There you go.
Stand here and ladle things out.
That's so important.
See something. Yeah.
I'm going to go check the soups out.
I can tell what you're going to ask me when I see you that day. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Well, as we kind of wind down here, I just want to remind folks one more time, give me the location, time, and date so that people don't forget.
Art and Soup, Sunday, March 10th.
Yes.
Patron party, 1:00. General admission, 2:00. We go until 5:00. It's at Omaha Design Center, and free parking.
Excellent. There's all the important.
VNAToday.org.
There we go.
Is the website where you can go and get tickets. Or more information. Can I also say we still need some corporate sponsors too. So if by chance you're hearing this and you know of somebody who would be willing to be a corporate sponsor for the event, we're grateful. Send them to that website or have
please,
them call me.
Please,
have them call me. Yeah.
Perfect.
For sure.
Perfect. Well, Carol Patrick and Chef Robert Wilson, thank you so much for talking with me. I know we kind of opened this conversation a little bit with how both the V&A and those in the hospitality industry, specifically, restaurants we're talking about in this case, and chefs are there to feed hearts, minds, souls, tummies through their respective crafts and really connecting with people in different ways. And in this case, Art and Soup, connecting all of that together in one event so that care and help for those that need it continues. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And
it's a great way of connecting that. Thank you.
Yes, certainly. And thank you so much for your time and for what you both do. And Robert, for sharing your story of
thank you.
Recovery and success.
So, any chance I get, I'd love to share it.
It's
because you never know who's gonna help.
Absolutely. If just one person hears that message and helps, you know, pull them out of that situation where maybe they're going down a bad path and can bring them on a good path. That's what we're about. So
thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah,
really
thank
grateful.
You.
Very welcome. All right. Well, we will sign it off here on Fatterday Omaha. I'm Dave Zorko. And as we say, until we eat again, stay hungry. Bye.
Our show is recorded and produced by Fatterday Omaha. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, as well as email fatterdayomaha@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and stay hungry.
Fatterday Omaha.
Eat this.